Connection this morning brought to you by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, by First Baptist Church, and by Near Northwestern Mutual agent Sam Stoya.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400 and Community Connection. I get to talk things over with Mayor Dale Copeland this morning. Thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate your effort. TIF-heavy council meeting last night after a TIF meeting at 3 lasted till around 5. People have strong feelings.
They do, and I think to start off with, a lot of folks don't have really an understanding of even what a TIF is. Anytime you use the word tax, it immediately generates a negative impression because none of us like that word.
We've been that way since the Boston Tea Party.
Seems to be, and probably before. But
well, yeah.
So a lot of
Robin Hood didn't like him either.
That's right. A lot of discussions about multiple TIFs. There were three different TIFs. Two of them were fairly straightforward. But a lot of passion, a lot of concern. That's actually a good thing. As I said last night, I think that having an engaged community is always going to be a good thing. We're not going to agree on everything, what color to paint the house. Perhaps your wife feels one way and you feel another. But you try to find the middle ground because the house needs to be painted. Bartlesville wants to grow. How we get there is a subject for discussion.
Yep, and certainly when you talk about a TIF, then you're probably right. We need to define the terms, although I think I've said this billions and billions of times. But go ahead and give us a succinct definition of a tax increment finance district.
What a tax increment finance district does is define a boundary. We'll use your house. Your house has boundaries that are your property. And you can set a boundary in a TIF that says anything that increases the value, it has a base value. Today we're going to say it's worth $100. And you're going to do work within that. Yeah, well, it's a really nice house, Charlie. Within that boundary, we're going to do $900 worth of improvements, and it will be worth $1,000. So in that instance, the $100, the taxes from that $100 would still go where they had always gone, to the schools and to the county and to the city. But the improvement, the increment, the increase, if you will, of $900 would pay the exact same taxes, except those, as Nate Ellis said last night, would be intercepted and would then be directed over into a fund to help reimburse the developer, in this case you, on your lot, to help pay that. The misunderstood part is not only that part, that there are no other taxes used. Only the increment or the increased taxes are captured, and only for a limited time, and only to the amount dictated and decreed by the government, in this case the city of Bartlesville. But further, you've got a situation where once those come off, the TIF is satisfied, they go on the tax rolls. So the question is, would this happen without a TIF? That's often a difficult question. Would someone do a project without help? Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. And I think that's at the heart of a lot of these discussions, is trying to look at a crystal ball and decide, do we need this and would it happen without?
So continuing your original idea that the house needs to be painted.
Right.
But I decide then, if I understand it right, if there is a tax increment finance district at my house, that instead of painting the house, which it does need to be paint, I decided also to knock out the dining room wall and add on an extra 8 feet of dining room. It's not a large addition to the dining room, but it's more space in the dining room. Mm-hmm. So then that means the house is worth more. And I'll use an out-of-state something, because in state of Illinois, where I grew up, park districts are a separate taxing body. They're not here, but I'll use it for my example so that I'm not using a local example. Then that local local park board doesn't get the additional money. Is what I think I hear you saying.
For
at least for that period of time,
right.
It will. The taxes on the house are still being paid appropriately for the new value. It's just being going someplace different.
And TIFs allow you to cause a project to happen, and there are many, many TIFs. We have them in downtown Bartlesville. Oklahoma City has used them in the Bricktown area. Tulsa has used them. Stillwater has. They're used as a tool to help a project come forward that the people want and need sometimes can be hard to differentiate, but it helps the local community to achieve those things that we want. Silver Lake Village, which just opened, people are very excited, lots and lots of traffic there, brought in brands, what we call targeted brands, that people wanted to see in our community. Sometimes perhaps they'd been going somewhere else to go to those brands, so now they can stay in Bartlesville, and we created a tax increment finance district to help that project happen. It was determined through multiple studies that the community wanted enhanced shopping, enhanced dining. They wanted it to be nice. They wanted it to be local. And that allowed that to happen. So in that case, the TIF met a need that was expressed by the community. Could we have gotten along without it? Perhaps so. But that's how
we have for a number of years, but
sure, that's how you grow. We want to improve downtown. There's a TIF thing that helps that happen. Many projects have been accomplished there. So tax increment financing is not a new idea, but I find it to be usually perhaps misunderstood or poorly understood.
And I think that typically the increment finance district has a specific purpose. It has a specific sunset date, and the dollars are used for a specific goal.
You're right. In fact, one of the reasons the actions were taken last night, there's a thing called a program plan that defines specifically what shall be done and lays out the fences or the parameters, if you will, that keep that on track. So TIF District number 7 that had been approved by a council in 2009 for a variety of reasons.
And the development just didn't happen.
2008, 2009, the economy had some issues. That did not happen. Now we come 8 years later, and it was determined that it really didn't make sense to try and push that increment district forward, and it was terminated last night.
Mm-hmm.
Another TIF district called Bison Trails Apartments out on the east side of town was approved in 2013, I believe. Again, similar instances, getting the project to move forward.
That did happen. It was delayed.
It was delayed. So now the developers are ready to move forward, but the clock has been ticking. So they came and to make the financing happen, to pull all that together, said we really need to reset the clock, if you will. The proper bodies, the tax increment review group, The people came, they studied, they looked at all the details, which do a wonderful job in helping us on the council. Came to the council last night with a recommendation to grant that. The council did grant that extension, and that's really, it changed nothing about the program plan. All it did was say, we're going to extend the time to make this feasible.
Okay. At first glance, and I have not read the documents involved, it would seem as though this proposal was very close to what had previously been approved.
In fact, the Bison Trails, in fact, was essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
Two-phase project. They're getting ready to start phase one of in the neighborhood of 100 apartments that there's been a need expressed for that, and they want to move forward with it. They have all of their various details arranged, financing and planning. So now they're ready to go and just needed that little bit of extra time that would have been available perhaps had it started those years ago.
Okay.
So that was approved and we'll move forward essentially the same project.
That's what I was thinking, that it was, you know, for all practical purposes, like you said, just reset the clock.
Exactly.
Okay. We'll take a break and continue our time with Mayor Copeland in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And as we continue with Mayor Copeland, I noticed a couple of things just on I'll say, more routine items last night, and we could have probably spent the rest of this hour on TIFs, but some announcements, I guess. Lee Lake, I'm not sure I want to use the term losing water, but it's going someplace.
It is. You drive by Lee Lake, and this has been a pretty wet year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Lake, all of our lakes have been full, which is a wonderful situation to have. But the water in Lee Lake, you drive by, you know, that looks a little low. That dock's a little higher out of the water than it used to be. And they have determined that the outflow structure, the overflow drain, if you will, over on the north side that was there to let it get so high and then carry the excess water away.
Mm-hmm.
The drain pipe, as you can perhaps picture, that goes down and under and out, has some places that are allowing water to leak. And it's no different than your house or anything else. That's not supposed to be leaking. It has to go over the top to get out, just like in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. If you don't pull a drain plug.
Yeah, most bathtubs used to at least have that little hole.
A little overflow.
Yeah.
So the overflow is working, but the drain pipe it connects to is leaking. They've determined what the problem is. They're now working with the contractor who put that structure together for us to determine the best way to solve it. That's going to be forthcoming in the next week or two. It appears probably they will go in and create some sort of, this is my words, not the engineering department, some sort of a earthwork to block the lake away from a space to provide a place to dig down, uncover the problem, patch, seal, correct that, perhaps pour concrete in to lock that all in place, and then refill it, and we'll be back in good shape. The fish populations are not in jeopardy. The lake is down, but it is not in danger. They have done some temporary patchwork, and then they'll find the permanent fix in the next few weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think more of us, you know, use showers than bathtubs anymore, so sometimes the analogy gets lost with us. Something going on this weekend, Saturday afternoon. Actually, one of the things that is kind of a major feature of Bartlesville, but also something, an organization we don't hear a lot about frequently, Voice of the Martyrs has something going on.
Voice of the Martyrs is just a wonderful group of folks. I suspect you know many of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those groups that they're out on the edge of town in a wonderful facility, but their work is by and large done not really much in the United States,
yeah,
but around the world, in countries in every continent, I believe, on the earth. So we don't always see what they do as we might with other companies, but a tremendous group of dedicated people, and they're going to celebrate their 50th anniversary this coming Saturday, the 21st, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock downtown at the Bartlesville Community Center. They're bringing in some nationally recognized speakers, perhaps internationally recognized for that matter, music groups. They will have folks there that have come from around the world. We're blessed, Charlie. We live in a nation where, as we saw at last night's council meeting, we can disagree, we can stand and speak our minds and our hearts publicly, courteously, but mm-hmm. publicly. We can disagree with each other. Afterward, we can still be friends, go home, and not worry that somebody's going to break down our door or drag us away. That's not true in some of
them. Or even come in and close your business and say you disagreed last night.
Exactly. So some of these people have been in places where standing up for their faith and their beliefs has gotten them into situations where they've been perhaps incarcerated, imprisoned, punished is a word that's used. Some people use the word torture for simply believing something, for saying something that others disagreed with. So that will be celebrated. Great group of people. We just really, as a nation, but as a community of Bartlesville, proud to have them living here, working here, serving among us, and we congratulate them on a milestone of Christian service, not only in Bartlesville, but around the world.
Absolutely. So again, and I believe there are some public events going on. I don't know all the details, but I know that they do have, you know, the big celebration.
They have a variety of events going on. I don't have their schedule, but I do know that the focus is the 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday mm-hmm. at the community center.
Okay. This is not for nearly another month, but the first of two leaf collection events. The city has done that for a number of years now.
Bartlesville is a very leafy town.
Yeah.
we plant trees. It's interesting. Recently, I've had opportunity to see some pictures looking down Cherokee to Hillcrest. You could see all the way out to what is now the college. not very many trees.
You just go on Google Maps and look at the aerial view of the city. We do have a good number of trees, thankfully.
Lots of trees.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had opportunity to work with the local cemetery at Memorial Park with the passing of my father recently, and they have historical pictures of that cemetery when it was first established, and it was just a plain, no trees at all. So when we drive around Bartlesville today and we see all of these trees are just beautiful additions to the city, we know this time of the year they tend to shed their leaves and something must be done with them. So they're going to be two leaf collections. We can never predict when that leaf dropping is going to happen fully.
And some species, as Larry Glass would say, will drop their leaves right away, and others will hold their leaves much longer.
I have a tree that doesn't drop until about March. So it always saves some work for me. But November,
you hold those leaves till next October or November?
Till the next pickup.
Yeah.
November 13th to 17th, your normal pickup day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you would bag those leaves, no special bags, no special tags, only leaves and small twigs. But if you put those at the curb, not with your polycarts, your trash containers, but nearby, then city crews will come by, pick them up. There is no limit on the number of bags. Just that they be bagged and readily picked up November 13 through 17. There will be a second pickup, since we don't know when all of the leaves will fall, December 18 through the 22nd. So just before Christmas, there'll be another opportunity to put out leaves in bags, no special tags, no special bags, to put those near the curb on your regular pickup day.
And when Keith Henry was in last week for City Matters, he also mentioned you can bundle the larger limbs together, something around a 3-foot, not heavier than 50-pound bundle for larger stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Something that one person can pick up. Some person like you or I, not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Something that they can
Andre
pick
the
up.
Giant, or I mean, you know.
But yeah, smaller bundles, cut those into a manageable size so that the folks can come by and pick them up for you.
I always find it, I'll say, nice and interesting, the proclamations that are made by the council. Organizations generally deserve the recognition, and it's nice that city councils, board of county commissioners, other organizations take the time to, school boards even, take the time to proclaim a week or a month.
It's a privilege to honor and recognize a lot of things that happen. I think sometimes we kind of get in our own little track. We go from A to B, and we do that every day, and all we ever see is the world that we're exposed to. And we don't always understand the tremendous things in our community that go on with so many civic groups and churches, even government, that you just perhaps take for granted. Last night we had the opportunity to read proclamations for Extra Mile Day, and you say, what is that? People who go the extra mile, they don't have to. It could be a small thing. They help somebody at the grocery store when they have a runaway cart, or they're trying to wrangle small children and do things. Somebody that comes and helps with those leaves. You have a neighbor who has some physical challenges, and people that help. There's so many folks in our city that go that extra mile. And last night we got to read a proclamation to set aside November 1st as Extra Mile Day. Sometimes it's an amazing thing just to go to those people and say, you know, I saw that and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's nice if it happens at the time, but by the same token, the city can, through a proclamation, in general, just say, you know, to all of you, whatever you may have done, thank you.
And it, all of us, you know, the old story of many hands make light work.
Yeah.
And it takes very little time to stop and do a good deed. You know, I do Boy Scouts. Do a good deed. Do a good turn daily. It's, you get in the habit, it becomes easier to do, and you don't even think about
Probably, it. Probably among the most readily available things that scouts are known for.
That
we always seem to choose that little old lady, but you do
the little
more.
Little lady across the street. I know that's that. Perhaps it's a very interesting mental picture, but there's many more things we can do.
I think that image, at least, was on the Boy Scout calendar that was hanging at my dad's drugstore for a number of years. Real quickly on a couple of other items, I know that you do still have some openings, but also some appointments that were made to library board and that sort of thing.
Talk about that a lot, but I don't want people to forget. The city council is five people, and I give great credit to my fellow council members that put the time and their hearts into learning about these issues, studying them, attending meetings, collecting input, listening to people who come to you and say, I want to talk to you about this. But those five folks by themselves would be overwhelmed. But But to have 270, 280 local friends and neighbors who say, I'll serve on the ambulance commission, I'll serve on the park board, I'll work with the Sanitary Sewer Improvement Oversight Committee, and then come to us as they did last night and share their hearts and their minds. It's a tremendous benefit to us and to the city staff, because our job is to reflect the needs and the wants of the community. And so we always have some openings. Right now, for instance, there's openings on several of those committees that you can go to cityofbartlesville.org. You can stop by City Hall downtown, go up to the second floor. They can give you an application so that you can join with these other folks and have a voice. Sometimes people think, well, they. Well, no, you can be one of they. You just have to join up.
Okay. The council, I believe, will revisit the issue of tax increment financing at the November 6th meeting. Is that correct?
At this point, that's planned. That agenda has not been set, but it's anticipated that that topic would be considered then. There's a variety of things. You know, I think it's great. We look at last night, and there were so many things. There's a lot happening in Bartlesville, Charlie.
Yeah, good thing.
It is a great thing.
Thank you very much. Mayor and City Councilman Dale Copeland with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. We'll check the forecast and more coming up in just a bit. Of course, your items to buy, sell, trade, or give away coming up at about 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Our Community Connection this morning on 1400 brought to you by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by First Baptist Church.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey.